CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Anatole Levin in London, a senior fellow for the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, sorting through the headline news about Nord Stream 2, the project near completion to send natural gas from the Russian Federation, an energy superpower and a military threat, to Germany to be distributed into Germans' prosperity and to sustain Western European prosperity. However, the caveat here is that both Ukraine, the remnant of Ukraine after the divisions of Donbass and Crimea, both Ukraine and Poland are objecting through their foreign ministry, saying this weakens the security of Poland and Ukraine and by connection all of Eastern Europe, including the Baltic states that are, and Anatole, since we talked, I've made it my business to go to Vilnius and talk about the mood there. They're extremely worried about Belarus, which connects immediately to Moscow. So I lay all these complications down, and now I come to these provocations in the Black Sea, which have happened since we talked about Ukraine. It would appear from first glance that instead of moving for a rapprochement and resolution, the sides, NATO and the Russian Federation, are moving away from it. Am I being too hasty on this? Is this the nature of beating the war drums but not actually shooting? How do you measure these provocations in the Black Sea?
I see them mostly as shadow boxing and saber rattling. Certainly saber rattling. But they don't, you know, I don't think they will lead to in themselves to war. Russia wants to signal to NATO that it will fight if Ukraine attacks it in the Donbass or, you know, tries to strangle Crimea. And, of course, the West wants to signal its strong support for Ukraine. On the whole, it's NATO that's bluffing. NATO will not fight for Ukraine, whereas Russia will fight if the Donbass is attacked. So I think the Russians are in a position to call NATO's bluff there. I don't think they want to. I don't think that they want a new war with Ukraine, but they've made it clear that, you know, they will fight if Ukraine tries to take the Donbass back by force. I mean, for me, the most interesting and perhaps worrying, sinister thing that's happened since we last spoke was President Putin's essay on Ukrainian-Russian relations, which came out a couple of weeks ago, because that, for me at least, contained a pretty strong implicit statement that sooner or later, you know, if an agreement was not reached on the Donbass or Donbass autonomy, that Russia would in fact annex the region as it previously did to the breakaway regions of Georgia. Now, if that happened, of course, it would start a massive new crisis between Russia and the West, and would, of course, risk then some form of Ukrainian military action leading to war. So I think that's another, you know, really strong incentive to the United States, or should be, to try to, you know, find a negotiated settlement over eastern Ukraine. Because, I mean, the point is that in the end, you know, Russia is the man in possession. The Russian troops are there. They cannot be ejected from this region without force. Force means war. Ukraine would lose a war. NATO would not fight for Ukraine. I mean, these are the things that have to be kept firmly in mind about this.
Let's go to Washington, where you're headed. Has Washington stepped aside from this conflict in this blessing of the Nord Stream 2 deal between Germany and the U.S., or is there an engagement that you can see? We're changing governments in Germany. You know this momentarily. Mm. Washington is fixed for the term. London is fixed. Paris is in an election cycle, so I don't lean on that. Has Washington stepped away and said, Europe, you need to settle this on your own?
Not exactly, I think. And that would be reading too much into it. The United States, I mean, what the Biden administration has said is, look, we do not want a stand-up fight with Germany.
Right.
You know, we want certain guarantees for Ukraine. But Germany is far too important to us as a partner in Europe, as a partner against China, potentially, to infuriate the German political and economic elites. So I think that is the key thing. This is part of, you know, Biden's, you know, reversal of Trump's policies, if you will, and, you know, attempt at a multilateral outreach to Europe and to Germany. But because, of course, you know, what people forget is that all of these parts, you know, they're not independent.
Right.
They are interrelated. You cannot, or you could not have simultaneously gone to Germany and said, look, we're determined to stop this pipeline. We don't give a damn if it costs Germany tens of billions of dollars by now. We will impose sanctions on Germany and on German companies in order to stop this pipeline. Your economic interests don't matter at all to us. Oh, but by the way, can we now talk about German support against China?
Wonderful. not possible. Anatole Levin coming up with a dialogue that hasn't yet happened. Not yet. In the news about Nord Stream 2. Anatole Levin, the senior fellow at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.